August 10, 1931. Ugliness of the human nature without the divine will. Beauty of one who lives in it. The smile of heaven upon the earth. My abandonment in the divine volition continues. I feel its enrapturing force sweetly imposing itself on me but without forcing me, because it does not like things that are forced. They are not for it, they are things that do not belong to it. Therefore, it is all eyes so that all my acts may receive the life of the divine will and become as if they were its own acts. And it seems to me that each of my acts done in its adorable will is a victory that it wins over the littleness of my will. So, I was thinking to myself, how ugly the human nature is without the divine. And my sweet Jesus told me, my daughter, ugly is the human nature that lives without my will, because it was created by the Supreme Being to live united together with the divine fiat. So, by living without it, a shift takes place in the human nature. In this shift, the order, the strength, the love, the light, the sanctity, the very reason, are shifted. All of these beautiful qualities are present in the creature, because they were placed by God as within a sacrarium. But they are present outside of their place all in disorder. And since they are out of place, one is against the other, passions fight sanctity, weakness fights strength, human love fights the divine, the creature the creator, and so forth. The human nature without the divine will transforms itself into ugly, it turns upside down, and in its disorder it wages war against its creator. It happens as with the soul and the body, which were created by God to live life together. If the body wanted to live separate life from the soul, would it not have the sad lot of undergoing such transformation as to no longer be recognized from what it was? As our divinity created man, our infinite wisdom concurred with it, which, as the artisan and as the expert who possesses the whole science of the art of being able to create, in our all-seeingness saw that, in order for this man to be our honor and a work worthy of our creative hands, and our glory and also his, he was to be formed as body and soul. And we gave charge to our will as primary life of the soul and of the body. So, what the soul is to the body, our will was to be for both one and the other. Therefore, the creature was created, and had in her beginning, body, soul, human will and divine will all together, that were to live life in common, with highest accord. And our will, that held the primacy, was to make itself nourisher and preserver and dominator of this creature. So, if without our divine will the human nature is ugliness, united with ours it is of a rare and enchanting beauty. In its creation, the seed of light was placed in it by us, and our fiat, more than most tender mother, extends with its wings of light over the seed, and caresses it, delights it, kisses it, nourishes it, makes it grow, and communicates to it, with its heat and light, all the varieties of the divine beauties. And the human nature receives the participation, remains under the mighty and continuous influence of a strength, of a sanctity, of a love fully divine, and it grows beautiful, lovable and admirable to all. Therefore, the human nature, the way it was created by us, is not ugly, but beautiful. Nor do we know how to do ugly things. But it can render itself ugly by not keeping to the ways in which it was created and wanted by us. See, then, how necessary it is that creatures do and live in our will because it enters the first act of their creation. So, once this is destroyed, she remains disfigured and without true life. All created things were created with two and even with three elements together. The sun possesses light and heat. If the light wanted to live isolated without heat, it would be sterile light, without fecundity. And if the heat wanted to isolate itself from the light, it would turn into darkness and here it is, disfigured, the most beautiful sphere that forms the enchantment of the whole universe, and with its light dominates and does good to all. The earth is formed of the elements of earth and water. If the earth wanted to do without water, it would become dust, and would not form the solid pavement on which man could raise buildings and walk with firm step, everything would vacillate under his feet. But this is not enough. If the earth did not want to receive the seed into its bosom, it would not form the beautiful flowerings, the abundance of fruits. So, earth, water and seed must live together, one must be life of the other. They must remain united together in the way in which they had the beginning of their creation. Otherwise, the earth would strike terror and would remain without the life of the good assigned to it by God, that it was to do to creatures. All things were not created isolated, and all the good is in their maintaining themselves as they were created by God. And then, also with the sciences, if a person wanted to learn how to read and did not want to learn the vowels, and then the union of the consonants, that are the beginning, the foundation, the substance from which the sciences derive, could he ever learn how to read? Never. He could drive himself crazy on the books, but as for learning, never. See, then, the strict necessity of sticking to the way in which things were formed at the beginning of their existence. If they do not want to turn from beautiful into ugly, from good into evil, from life into death. Now, what good can the creature hope for, if she does not live united with our divine will, in which the beginning of her creation was established? Oh! If all would comprehend this, how attentive they would be to let themselves be dominated, nourished, raised by my will, that, being the beginning of their existence, would form in them all that is beautiful, good and holy, and the great fortune of life down here, and then the great glory of their life up there. After this, I continued my acts in the divine will, and it seemed to me that these acts done in it had the virtue of uniting heaven and earth, and of drawing all the celestial inhabitants to look at the creature that was letting herself be invested by the divine volition to give it a field of action in her acts. And my sweet Jesus added, "My daughter, there is nothing more beautiful, holier, more gracious, and that possesses an enrapturing force and virtue, than a soul who lets herself be dominated by my divine will. She is the smile of heaven and of the earth. Each act of hers forms a rapture for her Creator, who feels the sweet force of his will in the creature, and sweetly lets himself be enraptured. And all the blessed feel that, from the earth, there is someone who enraptures the will of heaven, to make it her own and to live in common with them. Oh! How they feel twice as happy in seeing that also on earth reigns that fiat that, while it beatifies them and forms their supreme happiness, reigns at one point of the earth, operating and triumphant. Therefore, at that point of the earth appears a nimbus of heaven, a divine will operating, a smile of the celestial fatherland, that draws the attention of the whole of heaven on that point, to keep it defended and to enjoy that smile that the divine will forms in that creature. In fact, the saints are inseparable from all the acts of it, and they enjoy and take part in them according to their merits. More so, since the acts done in my divine will are as many chains of love that flow between heaven and earth, and they love all, without putting anyone aside. And because she loves all, she is well liked by all. Therefore, my daughter, be attentive. Fly run always in my divine will, that you may form the smile of heaven upon earth. It is beautiful to see heaven smile, but since happiness and smile are its own properties, it is the earth that renders itself more beautiful, more attractive. For the celestial smile that my divine will forms in the creature is not a property of its own. Fiat.